Hello, mate.
All right, Beth, how you doing?
Yeah, good. All back all right?
Yeah, just about. Just recovering now.
You have a good time, yeah?
Yeah, fantastic time.
Oh, great. Well, look, let's... I'll hit record in just a second, but look, I'm not going to talk about injuries anymore because obviously I've been banging on about it all season and I think it's getting on people's nerves.
Yeah, although, you did stop shouting about it.
Yeah, but mate, it's the reason why we've been so bad, isn't it? Everyone's like this, that and the other, and I think it's all to do with injuries. I'm trying to be positive. That's the reason I'm saying injuries, because everyone's like, oh, it's so rubbish at this, rubbish at that. Tim Sherwood's fault, this player's fault. I'm like, no, it's because there's injuries. Get everybody fit and we'll win the league. I'm trying to be positive.
I told you when I seen you there in the Bell Neck pub on Sunday that you were warned about these injuries. And we've got a good picture, I think, which we'll maybe mention later on.
Somebody even tried to tell me that Arsenal have had worse injuries because some percentage thing. But they've had Koscielny fit all season, and Mertesacker fit all season, and Giroud fit all season. If we'd have had Kabul and Vertonghen fit all season, you know, we'd have been brilliant. We'd have been... Yeah, welcome to the final Hotspurs podcast of the season. My name is Steve, I'm in Leon C in Essex. We've got Colin in Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Cole?
Yeah, doing good. Just recovering, mate, so happy enough, starting to come back to normal.
It is Thursday the 15th of May 2014, and we've just played Villa in our final game of the season. Thoughts?
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, it was a good victory. Both of us, we actually sat together at the game, which was great. Good first half, thought some good performances in. It sort of had that sort of, you know, pre-season friendly sort of feel about it. So it was hard to get really up and excited about things. But, you know, a really good, decent first half. Really, really enjoyed it. There was some nice football played, a few nice goals. Probably highlight for me, and I think probably for yourself, was the Aston Villa fans. They were absolutely fantastic. They all came in fancy dress and some of their songs were brilliant, really, really good. The atmosphere from those guys was superb. And that was probably my highlight of the whole match. Second half was obviously at 3-0. I think I turned around to you and said at half-time, guarantee it's going to be 0 each in the second half. And it was, but, you know, look, 3 points, we finished sixth place, Europa League spot, which, again, we haven't been overly enthusiastic about it. But look, it's maybe not a bad thing either. But let's see who the new manager's going to be and what way he's going to take that competition. Hopefully he'll blood, you know, some of those new players and younger players into the team from it. But, you know, all round good performance. Enjoyed the game, enjoyed the whole day. So, excellent.
Well, there's a couple of things, wasn't there? We said last week about the West Ham game. Chadley's outside. Sandro, as quite rightly, not had a great season. You know, playing not particularly well, been left out. Said a few things, but you know, when Chadley's injured, you know, really Sandro should be ahead of Chadley anyway. But he was injured. And I didn't realise, actually, that Sherwood had said, because I was at the game, that Sherwood had said, we've picked a team for a fight. And he picked Sigurdsson. I didn't realise he'd said that. That's why I didn't say it on last week's show.
Right.
Obviously, you pick Sandro then for that, don't you? He didn't. And you know, we saw what we saw. And then this week he put Sandro in, which, as we said last week, it releases Paulinho to get forward. And what does Paulinho do in the first 15, 20 minutes? Gets forward at every opportunity he gets. He's playing with his mates, playing with a smile on his face. And you're seeing a different player there. So that was good. I thought it was the first time this season what we've obviously played well in the first half. You know, I haven't seen that for many a moon. But it did remind me of you know, certain games from the past where we do play really well in the first half. And Andy ASD's podcast said there that about you know, goals being scored at that end. We very rarely see him this season because we always, you know, play so badly in the first half. And all the goals are scored up the other end. So that was quite nice to see. And we always used to see goals scored in the first half. It's only this season that we haven't. So, yeah, you know, not much more to say. There was a crazy thing that happened in the second half with Guzan, wasn't there, the goalkeeper, when he broke down Harry Kane, and there was some kind of crazy thing. But if you want to listen to that, go and listen to the Tottenham Football Fancast, because that's a great show. And they go into that in depth with Andrew, who's a referee, and he talks about that. But I have to tell you, Cole, do you remember I mentioned that show last week a couple of times?
Yeah.
Well, that's because ASD said to me that he might be giving it up, and in which case that, you know, possibly we would take it over, which I was a little bit excited about because it takes us back to the days of Kev and Jason McGovern and Andy Commons and Paul Teacher and those guys. Old school Tottenham Football Fancast. And then he texted me this week and said actually he's going to carry it on. So take back all that stuff I said last week about them. They're rubbish. No. No, so that's good. You know, you keep your podcast going, and we're going to keep this one going. You know, this is mine and Colin's little baby, so we're going to keep it going. And also, I said that this is the last show of the season. It is, but you'll be pleased to know that the new season starts next week, because we'll be carrying on with shows all through the summer. That should be good. We're going to do a couple of things slightly different, Cole, if that's all right with you. Because a lot of the pods now come out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, what I thought is that if we do a show on a Thursday night, so I put it out, you know, Thursday evening or Friday morning, then we'll have an opportunity to listen to the other pods, see what they're saying, try and say something a little bit different, but we'll also be able to review the Wednesday night game or the Thursday night game, you know, before anybody else. So that'd be good, won't it?
Yeah, sounds good.
Obviously, preview the.
Also gives guys a chance to listen, you know, right up to the next, you know, league game as well. So something a bit different. So but we'll look at loads of different things for next season.
Yeah, I'm thinking of doing podcast of the week as well. So excluding ours, listen to all the other Spurs ones and see which one is the best.
Okay, we'll probably win.
No, excluding ours. This week they were fantastic, I must say. Right, mate. So, Villa game done, dusted, all over. I left. Didn't want to see the when they walk around the pitch. You did.
I stayed on. There wasn't many stayed, to be honest with you, Steve. And I wasn't surprised at that either. There was loads and loads of empty seats. I would say probably lucky, maybe 5,000-10,000 people probably stayed, probably about 10. But you know, they just come out, done a quick lap around the pitch, done a bit of a wave. I had the laugh as usual. Adebayor, for some reason, always wants to be in the limelight, and of course he came out like 3 minutes, 4 minutes after everybody. So they had already made their way around half the pitch, and then Adebayor came out and, you know, looking for his, you know, applause, and he went round signing autographs and took his time dancing around.
Good. But no, it was good. Nothing wrong with that.
What's up?
Good. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but he always likes to be different.
That's right.
And so he'd done that. But the walk around wave, there was nobody shouting anything or anything, you know, different at all. But I was over there and just thought, well, I'll stay on and see what it is. And Sherwood was given a wave. I think he obviously knew then what was going to happen. But no, it was good.
Lamella.
Lamella not there, didn't see him.
I think he was. I think he had a cap on.
No, that was someone else. I think that was Frankie Sarris.
Who?
Saki. What's his name?
Friars.
Cut that out. Go back.
Right, go on to the testimonial then. I couldn't go because I'm a married man. Can't go 2 days in a row to my beloved Tottenham. Fuming about it. But there we go.
Yeah.
So, tell us.
Oh, man, what a night. It's probably one of the best nights I've had at White Hart Lane. And, you know, before the game, you know, the Sunday was fantastic, obviously meeting a lot of guys. I'll give guys a shout out later on. But before the game, wasn't sure what to expect, but, you know, the pubs were packed. We were down the Bricklayers again, met a few boys, you know, a few more beers. But then, not really knowing what to expect from it all, but the place was packed. There wasn't an empty seat in the house. Everything brilliant for them. Everybody singing. Great to see some fantastic players, you know, that have been at White Hart Lane before, back on the pitch. You know, I'll talk about a couple of them. Teddy Sheringham, brilliant goal. You know, he looked absolutely fantastic. Edgar Davids was outstanding. That guy could actually probably still play. You know, he was doing...
How was he outstanding? What was he doing?
Just, he was so fast with the ball. He'd done tricks. He actually nutmegged Christian Eriksen at one point down where we were. And he still just looked like a fit Premier League footballer.
We forget about him, don't we? When we talk about like our best side of the last sort of 10 years, he was great for us.
Yeah, he was, I'll tell you what, he was brilliant. Louis Saha, Darren Allerton, you know, Paul Robeson-Netz, I put a video up there on Facebook. Yeah. You know, he was starting to get the Spurs fans singing songs, but just the whole night was brilliant. Ledley King was superb. It was quite emotional, actually, at the end, whenever he spoke on the pitch and... You know, everybody was singing his songs and all the players stayed out. You know, it was quite an emotional evening as well. But highlight of the night as well was Hard Web. Have you seen this song?
Yeah.
For some reason, the ball just came to him. There was about 10 minutes left. And he just got the ball and started to run with it. And everybody, there was sort of like a bit of silence. And obviously, Hard Web isn't the best loved at Tottenham.
Well, he wasn't until the Man United game.
He wasn't. And then... all of a sudden he got the ball and then Lewis Hopi just came in and scissor tackled him, and to be fair to Webb, he sort of went down and then he took a dive, and then he got up and he chased Hopi and pushed Hopi over. And it was absolutely brilliant. Fair play to Webb for doing that. And the Spurs fans started singing his name, and Hard Webb's a Yiddo, and all these sort of songs, you know, and it, hard give us a wave, and he waved to the crowd and things. So a really all round brilliant night, Steve. I'm sure Ledley King absolutely loved it. We had a ball, and there was some decent football on the pitch as well. So, really good night. Really, really good.
Oh, fantastic. Right, mate. So, what we'll do, obviously, Tim Sherwood's gone. We'll come to that in just a second. What we do on the Hotspurs podcast, we certainly did it for the first half of the season, was the Hotspurs podcast scoring system. Got a bit boring, so we jacked it in because we was giving the same scores every week. So it was just zeros, basically. So what we'll do is we'll go through each player. We'll give them a one if they've had a good season. We'll give them a half if they've had an all right season. And we'll give them a zero if they've had a bad season. Dead simple. And go on, mate. Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. Right, so here we go. We'll start with Gomez. No. I will start with Lloris.
He's getting a one for me.
Definite one.
Yeah, definite one.
Yeah, we don't need to say why. Fantastic.
No, he's had a super season. He's had a couple of dodgy moments as well, but
yeah, early on.
A really good season from him.
Carl Walker.
I'm going to give Walker a half. So, he's sort of been a bit in and out. He got a lot of stick at the start of the season, but I think he started to improve towards the end. Unfortunately, then he got injured. So he did, but... you know, I think a half for me.
I'm going to give him a zero.
Okay.
I'm not keen. Watched him, particularly the home games, gives the ball away a lot. Just not impressed at all. He got injured, in the last few games. I'm not going to say he would have improved or anything, but that header against Chelsea... when he just gives the ball away. Not impressed, mate. Unfortunately, a lot of people saying he could have been player of the year if he'd have carried on. Can't see it myself. Danny Rose?
I'm going to give Danny Rose a zero. Been really disappointed in him. Actually, at the start of the season, thought, he had a great season for Sunderland last year. I thought, he might progress. He had injuries as well, which we need to remember, but just... The last part of the season, so disappointed in him. His attitude as well, like even on Sunday there, he gives the ball away so easy. He strolls about the pitch like a bit of a strut, and definitely a zero for me.
Yeah, he gets a zero from me as well. And I'm not, afraid to say it in terms of, I don't want, if they don't listen to this anyway, but if he does, I'm not, I'm not scared of him thinking, the Spurs fans don't like me. Good, because I don't like his attitude as well. As we go through this, by the way, let's decide if we want to keep him or sell him.
Okay.
Money aside, say we get a bid that we think is acceptable. Would you sell Kyle Walker?
No, I'll keep him.
Okay, I would sell Kyle Walker. Danny Rose?
Sell him.
Yeah, sell him. You know, the thing is, he's a cult hero, but I think if he has one more season, I think he'll lose that cult hero status.
Yeah.
He's a cult hero. If he goes now, he could go to West Ham or back to Sunderland or wherever, and you know, forever be a cult hero. He'll be back on the pitch in 20 years, and they'll replay that goal over and over again, you know, fine. But if he has another season, oh, you know, no thanks. Yunus Kabul, you give it. What are you giving him?
I'm going to give him a half because he had a couple of decent games, but again, the injuries didn't play as much of the games as what we really wanted him to. It was a wee bit disappointing in a few games, but you know, I like his attitude. You know, he tries hard on the pitch and things. But I'll squeeze a half to him.
I was going to go for a one or a half. You know, that sending off against West Ham, he really didn't need to do that. But I suppose the guy was running through. He didn't, you know, punch him or anything. I'm going to give Yunus Kabul a one actually, because when he's on the pitch, I really really like him. Keep, sell?
He's up on a free transfer actually. I'd probably keep him. I think depending who would probably hopefully maybe bring in at centre half, I think he would be a great squad player to have.
Yeah.
More so because of his injuries.
I think we've got to presume that they're now going to be fit. Otherwise, this won't be any fun at all. So presuming they're fit. Keep Kabul. Jan Vertonghen, what are you giving him?
I'm going to give Jan Vertonghen a zero. Been really, really disappointed with him. He started off okay at the start of the season, but really, you know, probably from about November, his attitude changed. He just looked like he didn't want to be there. And as we've always said, see, if you don't want to be at Spurs, you don't want to be part of it, away you go. And certainly for me, really disappointed in him. Really, and so it's definitely a zero.
Keep, sell?
I would sell him if I get the right money.
Yeah, I mean, presuming you get a 30 million bid from Barcelona, would you sell?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
but
no.
Look, he is a quality defender. Depending who the new manager is going to be, if they can get him in the right frame of mind, you'd have to say we'd keep him.
Yeah. No, I'd keep Vertonghen. I think the stroppiness and everything like that is part of his demeanour. I think he probably leans on the wall for most games. That's just the way he is. And it is frustrating when you lose games. But, you know, the other side of the coin is that he is just a cool customer. Love watching him on a football pitch. Yes, he frustrates at times when he doesn't track back and he looks as if he's just given up. But he's a quality footballer. And I think we've got to keep him. And I'm going to give him a half.
Okay.
All right. What about Kirakesh?
I'm going to give him a half. I think he's had a good season, obviously, a new signing for us. He's had some really good games. He's had a couple of dodgy games. So I think that's why he can't get a one. But I really do like him. I liked him on Sunday. I thought he looked sharp. He looks quick. He reads the game well. So he's definitely, I would definitely keep him. And I think he could be a strong player for us to, in the years to come.
All right,
so
mate.
I really like him, but I just give him a half for this season.
I'm going to give him a one. I've been really impressed with him. Yes, he's made mistakes, but you know, he's learning on his game. And I think he's, you know, we came on against West Ham and I was thought, oh, here's someone that wants to do something. I'm going to give him a one and definitely keep him. Kyle Naughton.
I'm going to give Kyle Naughton a half as well. He started the season, but then again, he was being played at left back and positions where he wasn't comfortable. And to be fair to the guy, this last probably 10 games where he's come in, I actually think he's played really quite well. And he's certainly a player that I would keep. I think he'd be a good squad player. He's a good backup, you know, if there's ever any injuries. And I quite like his attitude. I think he looks like a decent guy. He looks like he wants to be there. But certainly I'd give him a half. He hasn't been outstanding for us, but certainly give him a half.
Cool. Cole's been drinking tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I'm giving him a zero. I can't stand his attitude, and he's out. Michael Dawson.
Michael Dawson, I have to give him a one. You know, Michael Dawson's just, he's Mr. Spurs, and he just loves the club, he loves the supporters. I love his passion, but I think it was a comment you made to me on Sunday, you know, against those mid-table, the lower league teams, he looks brilliant. He looks outstanding, but unfortunately, against the big boys, he gets caught out. You know, if you remember him against the likes of Aguero and Suarez and players like that, he just looks out of place. I would certainly keep him, but just because he loves the club so much. But he gets a one for me just for being Michael Dawson, and he has had some great games for us.
Yeah, I'll give him a half. I don't think he's had a very good season. You know, there's a little spell there of five or six games in the middle of the season where he looked absolutely dreadful and he needed a break. But, you know, in circumstances, obviously, you know, he had to keep playing him and he needed that pressure off of him, but, you know, he couldn't. I think he plays much better when the pressure's off. So when they're playing against a Stoke or a side like that, where he can really relishes it and they lump the ball in, you know, he loves getting his nut on it. And You know, so but I'm going to give him a half because he's not had a great season, but definitely keep him. Friars.
Really haven't seen much of him. Zero.
Yeah, zero for me. Not impressed. And sell him as well. Right into midfield. Aaron Lennon.
Zero. Really disappointed.
Buy or sell? Keep or sell?
Sell. I think he's done his time.
We've had enough.
Attitude stinks. You know, we've said it for the last 4, 5, 6 years. Oh, this has to be Lennon's season. And again, for a player who's seen Theo Walcott get injured, Andrus Townsend get injured, who had an opportunity to go to the World Cup this year for England, and that guy still did not try. You know, he should have been busting himself to get into that World Cup squad. His last opportunity, probably, to go to World Cup, and he done nothing for us. So, big fat zero, and time to go.
Yeah, what a shame. What a shame. Yeah. You know, whenever he gets into the box and he gets into a shooting position, you know, Walcott puts his foot through it, and you know, 9 times out of 10 hits row X. But of you know, if he has 10 shots, he scores every other game. Yeah. Aaron Lennon has 1 shot every 6 games, and he scores 2 or 3 a year. It's pathetic. So see you later, Aaron Lennon. You know, we've had enough. We used to love you, and still do. You know, he'll go down as a club legend and all that, all the rest of it. You know, if he wants to. You know, as if he wants to. We've had, you know, reports of him, you know, not being that keen on, you know, being part of the footballing family, if you know what I mean. Anyway, Paulinho.
I'm giving Paulinho a half. Been really disappointed. So excited about this guy. Final straw for me was the way he reacted in that wall against West Ham. The way he pulled his body out of the way. Started off actually quite well and looked like he was settling quite quickly. Scored quite a few important goals for us as well, but been so disappointed for being a Brazilian international, and I guarantee you he's going to be outstanding in the World Cup. Maybe to do, he might have better players around him as well, but really disappointed. Like, if you remember that shot he had on Sunday against Villa, and we actually looked at each other and went, poof. You know, we actually hit the corner flag from 7 yards out.
Yeah.
And it was just, this is a Brazilian, you know, but really disappointed in him. But I'm giving him a half for parts of the season where he did play well.
Yeah, I think with all the 7 new signings, the thing is we want to see him for another season and then we'll decide. But if a bid comes, but if reports are right, you know, a £30 million bid from Chelsea, definitely I'd take that. You know, and get somebody else in. You know, disappointing, but it's somebody that, you know, is almost like, so obvious that he's waiting for the World Cup. You know, nothing could be more obvious. But he pops up with the goals, and I think if you play him in the right position, he was brilliant. Do you remember the Man United game where they played him right up front? He was great in that game. So, you know, played in the right position. Don't play Paulinho as the defensive midfielder. You know, he's not. You know, playing with another, you know, box-to-box player like Sandro. You know, I want to say next season, do you know what I'd love to say? I'd love someone to tweet me and say, can you stop banging on about how good the two Brazilians are? Stop going on about the two Brazilians. I'd love that next season, because that's all I want to talk about. The two Brazilians. I want to turn on, you know, Soccer Saturday and all the panel go, the two Brazilians. Wouldn't that be brilliant? if they just bang on about Sandro and Paulini and the centre midfield. Both probably be injured the whole time.
We shall see.
Right, Lamella. Can't score him, can you? Can't score him.
Can't score him. It has to be
keep
zero,
or sell.
But definitely keep. I just hope that there's something going on where they're getting him settled. He's learning the language. He's going to get early back in the pre-season. Definitely, I want to keep him. I want to see this guy.
Capu.
Really disappointing. Zero for me. At the start of the season, we thought here, we've got a wonder player. But again, he's just been injured. I'm watching him. He actually played in the Ledley King testimony. It was a friendly. Played okay, but he runs really strange. And I just don't know about him. I just don't know.
He's cover for Sandro. And for some strange reason, we didn't play him as that role, did we? I think we left him out when... I think Sandro got injured and then we left him out for a couple of games. It was like, no, wait there. That's when Capu comes in. You know, and then we had to play centre-back because we lost everybody. You know, there was a little period, wasn't there, when we lost all four centre-backs. So we had to play him. You know, and that obviously lost all his confidence. But again, I want to keep him, see how he gets on next year. Andros Townsend, you know, all the are you noticing all these players? You have to judge them on about 10 games because of the form and also, you know, the unmentionable.
Yes, yeah, and you're right in saying that, because Townsend, again, I'm going to give him a half. I would love to give him a one, because at the start of the season when he got in, he was on fire, on fire for England as well. But again, he got injured. And it's difficult to give him a one for it, so a half, but look, he's definitely a keeper. Just hopefully he can come in and get more regular into the side maybe next year.
Yeah, and I think when he came back, although he only was a bit part player, when he came on, he didn't look as if the same player that had gone off. Whether he's been given different instructions or whether, like I've said, you know, a lot of the fans sucked out that enthusiasm and having a shot, you know, and you know, obviously fans are the people that listen to this show, and you know, when I criticise fans, we're probably the worst, because we actually do a podcast about it where we talk about criticising, you know, this, that, the other. So all I'm saying is, when I was listening to people say, oh, why does he shoot so much? Yeah, it's like, oh dear, what do you want in this world? A winger that shoots too much? Have a go. That's all we ever say, isn't it? Moussa Dembélé, you know, I'm one of my absolute favourites at Tottenham. But I think he's got a bit of the Huddlestone syndrome, where you can see so much potential and you keep banging on about how good they are and how they're going to do it, and they just don't. And then every 3 or 4 months they pop up with a great goal and you say, there you go, and then they go missing again for the next 3 or 4 months. The odd little thing here that they do is great. But again, you know, it's a half or a zero for Moussa Dembélé, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Played too much in Europa as well.
Definitely get him in the Europa.
Get him in the... No, I think he played too much in the Europa this season.
All right, sorry. I'm saying for next season, if he's there, you know, depending on what our midfield's going to be, if he isn't a regular, you know, good player to get in the Europa League team.
I think a good Dembélé, though, is first choice in our midfield.
Oh, yeah, I agree, if he's on form, but he's got to start producing it.
Yeah. Nasir Chadli.
Chadli, been disappointed, but really didn't know much about him whenever he came in. I'm going to give him a zero, so I haven't given out too many zeros. He's just really disappointed me.
I think if we sold him, Carl, you know, in our heart of hearts, we all want him to do well, don't we? Because we like him, and he was great in this game and that game. And we really want him to do well, but actually, if we sold him, it would be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, agreed.
What about Sigurdsson? 2 years at the club?
I'm going to give him a half just because of certain games, again, and scored that winning goal for us against Southampton.
Would you be gutted if we sold him?
Not really, to be honest with you.
Eriksson?
Definite one. He's been superb. There has been quite a few games where he's sort of, more so at the start of the season, where I wasn't overly sure about him, but look, he's been superb for us, and I think the guy can only get better. He really can. I just hope that we can hold on to him. I think we will. I think he's the kind of guy, you know, could be quite loyal to you. So he's been absolutely brilliant. So a definite one for me. Player of the year for me.
Okay. Somebody needs to tell him, though, that he can actually do his stuff in the first half. I mean, case in point, West Ham game. He was dreadful in the first half. And in the second half, all of a sudden, he sprang to life and he was doing things and trying things. And for me, you know, I've been a bit critical of Eriksen because everybody else is banging on about how fantastic he is. And I'm still thinking, well, yeah, you know, he's the best of a bad bunch. But, you know, is he really that fantastic? And I'd have to say, you know, he's getting a one, by the way, from me. But do it in the first half, mate, please. Now, Sandro has been disappointing, hasn't he? You know, again, we keep saying this player's our best. He is actually, you know, our best player, isn't he, really? He's got everything.
I don't agree.
You'll have to take it up with Graham Roberts because he loves it.
I know, but I know people harp on about him, and I've watched him, and he's been really disappointing this season. He and I just don't think he's recovered from the injury at QPR last season. He just hasn't been the same player. And I just don't know. I'd definitely keep him. I think if we can get a fully fit Sandro, well then, yes, he can be one of our best players. I wouldn't say he's our best player. Definitely not. But he is a fantastic footballer and definitely want to see him there. But he needs to be fit. It's maybe a good thing that he's not in the World Cup squad for us. I think hopefully he'll get himself sorted over the summer and come back ready to go.
Yeah, and by the way, just because TV channels show that YouTube clip of him doing karate kicks in the dressing room doesn't mean that he actually does it every week. You know, somebody said, oh, why does he keep doing these karate kicks and things in the dressing room? No, he only done it once, and that was about 2.5 years ago. Just because, I think they showed it before the UEFA Europa game, the Benfica game or something. And I was watching it going, well, I saw this 18 months ago. You know, this wasn't the other day. Look, I love Sandro. And when he played against Fuller, you could see his qualities. Brilliant player. But, you know, please be fit next season, mate, because he is everything to me. And Benteleb.
I'm actually going to give this guy a one because I think the guy got a lot of criticism because he... Unfortunately for him, he got tarnished along with Sherwood. But when you think of the young lad, like I seen him when he got in quite early against against Crystal Palace, and he actually had a really, really good game that day against Palace. And there's been some games for being a young fella coming into a Premier League team. He's played really well, and I do like him, and I think he's got a bit of the future for us. So I'm giving the young lad a one, definite one.
Oh, me too. He hasn't done much, but it, you know, he comes into the game. And, you know, for a young kid, he's done really, really well. And like I said to you a few weeks ago, 4 years' time, I think he'll be our best player. I really do.
If he gets a chance.
I'm sticking my neck out. As long as he doesn't, you know, let it all go to his head and blah, blah, but you never know these days. He's got the potential there. I can really see it. Right, into the strikers then. Soldado, 0.
Zero has been so, so disappointing. But I would keep him. Again, depending on who the new manager is going to be, if he keeps him, if he can get the right players around him. This guy, I was speaking to someone the other day about it, this guy cannot have turned into such a bad player overnight. And, you know, he was scoring goals for fun for Valencia every season. Everybody was talking about him, you know, Liverpool fans, Man United, you know, Chelsea even looked at him at one point, so it can't be, but let's just hope. Again, he's not in the World Cup squad, which is good. He gets himself sorted and, you know, he comes back and he gets a chance. But we said on Sunday, really disappointing that he wasn't brought on. You know, what an opportunity. Get him on the pitch. You know, I know they brought on the young lads and gave them a run out, but look, we want to see Soldado. I want to see Soldado come on Sunday and bang a couple of goals in.
Yeah.
You know, last game of the season, where we all go, oh, there's the man. Maybe, you know, give him a G up and get us ready for him. So, but I have to give him a 0 because it's been so disappointing from him.
Harry Kane?
Harry Kane, for all that he's really played, I'll give him a 0.5. Actually, think he's done really well. don't think he's the answer for us. If he's still going to be there, he's definitely a Europa League player for me. But he's done well. He's done quite well on Saturday. Lacks a bit of pace. Just when I seen him live there, balls being played, two or three great passes through to him in the first half. He just didn't have the pace to get away, but still done quite well.
And Adebayor?
Adebayor has to get a one. You know, he wasn't there at the start of the season. Came in once Sherwood came back, and he's been fantastic. He's had a couple of dodgy games, but without his goals, we wouldn't have finished in that sixth place. And, you know, his effort was there. You know, the way he reacted with the crowd, you know, with the celebrations and things, I think he's been a breath of fresh air, and really enjoyed him. Definite one, and I would love us to be able to keep him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what you want to see is him up front with another real quality player who they can feed off each other. You know, if Soldado can get his shooting boots on, then I just think they'd be petrified defences.
You mentioned it as well before, and he'd done it a couple of times on Sunday. He actually done it the testimonial. I actually could see him playing slightly deeper in behind, like two strikers, because he's got fantastic feet and he works hard and he's strong. And you could maybe, you know, in that like number 10 role behind, say, two proper centre forwards, because he does work hard. So that might be something, but you never know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, mate. Well, that's all the players.
So we get fantasy football and a few shout-outs out of the way?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Fantasy football, obviously, this is the final league table. So the winner of fantasy football this season was Patrick Morris. So well done, Patrick. We'll try and get in touch with you if you're on Facebook or Twitter. Give us a shout. And I think Steve and I will probably be doing a couple of shows over the summer. And, you know, if you want to come on the show, chat about your fantasy football team and Spurs, we'd love to have you on. So, well done, Patrick. Then there was John Perez, Dan Jones, Adam Barrett, Chrissy Rich, Sharny Mann, myself. I finished in 7th place. Told you all I'd finish in the top 10. I'll win it next year. Guaranteed, I'm going to say it now. Kurt Fautek, Neil Webb, and Damien O'Reilly. You, Steve, finished in the 82nd place. Really, really disappointed with you, Steve. Like, for being, you know, on the podcast and things, your knowledge, you know, you've got to sharpen this up for next season. I expect you in the top 20 next season.
Had a lot of injuries though.
You had a lot of injuries in your dream team. And the most points this week, and it's great shout out, he's a great listener to the show with 75 points, is Dylan Legrand, who I met when I was at the Palace game. Super young fella. There's something actually where I've got to have a chat with you, Steve. He's doing a lot of interviews and things for his coursework, so hopefully get Dylan on the show soon as well.
Okay.
So brilliant. And do you know who finished last? Because I'm going to shout this out for who finished bottom of the league.
Go on.
Graham Woogie Lambert. Graham's always on our Facebook page putting loads of messages and loads of points in, and he's a top guy. But Graham, you finished bottom of the league, mate. And you know,
I thought Kate Coggins might finish.
She was near the bottom, so she was, but no, Graham finished and really disappointed in you, Graham. I expect a lot more out of you next season, mate.
Can we get Kate Coggins on the podcast?
Get Kate Coggins on as well, yeah, no problem.
Right.
Can I do a couple of quick shout-outs, Steve?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, just a few guys that we met on Sunday and Monday. First one, obviously, our good friend Andy Goldberg, and I had a son with him. Andy, top guy, top Spurs man. Great to meet you again, myself and Davey Elder, the Spurs poet there. And hopefully the next time when we're over, we'll have a lot more time to chat with you. There was Dan Jones, obviously, there. Martin Heiser came in. Great to see you guys. And a big shout out to all the Lisburn Spurs supporters who came over from Northern Ireland. Wes Stead, Noel Stewart, Michael, all the guys there. Brilliant, brilliant guys. And big Spurs men.
There was a lad who I spoke to as well outside, and yeah. I can't remember his name, but he said he sent us something and we read it out. So whoever that chap was.
Oh,
yes,
nice outside the bell, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, super. And I'm going to give the biggest shout out to this guy, and it's a guy called Tyler McCulloch. And he's been sending us private messages to Steve on Facebook, and he's from Ohio in America. And this guy flew over the White Hart Lane with his mum for his first ever Spurs game, been a Spurs fan for years now. And myself and Davey Elder, the Spurs poet, met him on Monday before the Eddie King testimonial in the Bricklayers. And look, an absolute gentleman, loves the show. He said he's got a lot of big friends back home that all love listening to the podcast as well. And look, a massive shout out to you, Tyler. And fair play to you, he absolutely loved White Hart Lane, loved everything about it, and is a full, full Spurs man. So he was really disappointed not to meet you, Steve, but hopefully if he's over again, we'll get you to meet up with him.
Well, if he wants me to meet him in Ohio.
Yeah, certainly, if you can fly over.
Get some nice buffalo wings, some ribs out over there.
Take you to a Red Sox game, I think he's a big Red Sox fan. That's the thing. But no, absolute gentleman, and it was a pleasure to meet you, mate, and we'll hopefully see you again at the Lane.
Fantastic. Okay. Right, so obviously Tim's gone. And happy about that?
Yeah, I think it was the right decision.
Harsh though, isn't it? Harsh.
It is, and I do feel sorry for me, but I think the guy done himself no favours. I think if he had just reined himself in a bit, he might have been okay. But
it's not him though, is it? It's not his personality.
The one big thing I'd shout out, which I was pleased about, that we'd done it quickly. That we haven't had to sit and wait for 2, 3, 4 weeks with all these rumours going, oh, Sherwood's going to go and this is going to happen. We actually, for once, went and done it straight away. And to me, that was the best thing, you know, and that was the good sign from it. Do feel sorry for him. He had a lot of passion for us. I think he tried his best, but unfortunately, I don't think the guy had the changing room, Steve. There was a lot of guys were against him, and it wasn't going to work out for him. So, time to move on. Hopefully, he'll do well wherever else goes, and you never know, we might see him back at the Lane sometime.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel sorry for him because I think he'll be fine. And I think that it actually he's done great for himself, and I don't think if AVB would have stayed we'd have particularly done any better, and I don't think any manager that would have come in we'd have got a higher position in the league. When you think about the teams that are ahead of us and the number of games that they won and the number of points they got, and also, you know, the fact that Everton had a fantastic season, and they finished 3 points ahead of us. You know, United obviously had a rotten season, but what did we finish? 6 points ahead of them? And then Southampton, who were the next side, who had a brilliant season, we finished 13 points ahead of them. So, in terms of results, fantastic. The way we've played, all over the place. You know, absolutely all over the place. And Tim Sherwood, the thing that sticks with me, as I've said it many times, is that we didn't get behind him at all from day one. And, you know, I said it on the podcast over and over again. I said, can people please, please stop slagging the guy off? Because the decision's been made. Levy's chosen Sherwood. Now we've got to get behind him because he will not change his mind. There isn't another manager anyway, even if he did change his mind in, the middle of March or something. So we've got to get behind Sherwood. You know, he said things from the heart, which was a breath of fresh air, I know people have said. And a lot of the things I agreed with. You know, go back now and you watch that interview he did after the Chelsea game. And at the time I thought, you know, stop talking. Why are you saying things like this? But then I thought, it's good that he's, you know, he feels absolutely gutted. You know, and the way he talks about the team capitulating. Because we did. You know, he's just saying it how it is. I remember, you know, Hoddle, who's my absolute hero. We lost, I think it was 4-0 to Southampton. And he was blaming, I think we had a player sent off. And he was saying, oh, when a player gets sent off, it all goes downhill and this, that and the other. And Sherwood didn't do that. He said, yes, Cabal got sent off, but he said we capitulated and then we made some terrible mistakes. You know, that was good, I thought. But at the same time, you don't dig out your players. You never hear Arsene Wenger do it. You never hear Mourinho do it. You know, so it's pros and cons. But at the end of the day, most Spurs fans didn't like the way that he spoke. The Arsenal connection as well. You're onto a hiding to nothing with that, and he had to go. And I'm excited for where we're going now, whether it be Frank de Boer. You know, that's an exciting appointment. Benitez would be the one who I just think would come in and be great for us.
Yeah.
Pochettino, we don't know. But, you know, with the Argentina thing, could be interesting with Lamella and other players, and who he might be able to, you know, attract to the side, to the team. And, you know, he's done wonders at Southampton, although, you know, we finished 13 points ahead of them. You know, really interesting times again. You know, maybe, you know, lots of people saying we need to give managers time. Maybe football is about changing managers every couple of seasons. You know, maybe that is the way to go. You know, look at Southampton. They were doing brilliant. Then they got up to the Premier League and they weren't doing that well. And they sacked Adkins and everyone said, "Oh, what a disgrace, sacking Adkins." And then Pochettino comes in and he's fantastic for them. So maybe just Man United got lucky with the fact that their manager stayed for so long. Maybe the Arsenal have just been lucky that their manager... Because every other team has chopped and changed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, if Mourinho, for example, if he has another... If they get to January and they're 10 points off the top and, you know, it's not looking too great for them, he'll be gone. You know, and that would be another manager gone from Chelsea. But I guarantee you they'll win something next year.
Well, look, it's right, and this is, you know, our time to have a quick look at who possibly, you know, obviously the three names in the running seem to be the three that you've mentioned. You know, Benitez hasn't been talked about too much, but seen a few rumours on Twitter. I know he's in London at the minute. You know, I don't need to harp on about him. I've said it all over Twitter. You know, he's my number one choice. I really believe the guy would come in and really sort us out. I think he'd also bring in some really good players as well. But you know, De Boer is, yeah, he's a big name in football. He's got great backroom staff. So look, if we get him, I think everybody's going to be excited, going to be upbeat about him. But again, he could be like another AVB. We just don't know what way it's going to be with him. Also, there's you know, the guy from Southampton. I do like this guy, and I like the sound of him. I know Davey Elder put a clip up on Facebook or Twitter the other day, which I listened to. Some, you know, football experts out of Spain talked about him and said what way, you know, that he comes into teams and he, you know, he works hard on defences and gets them sorted. But it's just so hard to know with him, you know, is he going to come in? And if he doesn't have a great start, my big worry is that I can see the fans turning on and, you know, possibly getting on his back early. You know, there's big rumours that
Spurs have told him,
you know, if he comes in, he has to speak English, which is one thing, you know, that us as fans, I don't want to be sitting, listening to a match report or our manager being interviewed after the game, listening to, you know, to an interpreter talking to us. So, obviously, these are a lot of big things, but my big worry about him is that if it doesn't start well, the supporters will turn, because no matter, we all say, oh, right, it's time to give these guys time, we have to support them, let's go for it. But I'm telling you, first 10 games, if he wins 4 and draws 2 and loses the other half of that team, that crowd will go on his back. And that is my worry about him.
Yeah, and you know, we all say that they need team. I know Cracker said that they need 3 years and what have you. But, you know, if we've got a fit, fully fit, you know, let's say a Sandro, fully fit, and we're leaking goals everywhere, and Sandro's sitting on the bench, and he's gone with Sigurdsson and Chadley in the middle, then you go, well, what the heck is going on here? So, yes, they need time, without a doubt, but if there's decisions being made that, you know, just don't suit the way that Tottenham play, or, you know, players being left out, then, you know, they're going to go, aren't they? So, you know, what we want is a manager to come in to generally play. I know people have different favourite players, but we generally have the same sort of side that we would pick, don't we? You know, goes and buys a left back as a priority, for example, or gets Danny Rose shipshape, tell him to lose a couple of stone. You know, yeah, we'll see how we get on. But
you know,
whoever comes in, go on, mate.
Benitez, Steve, I honestly think, say next week, it was breaking news on Sky that Spurs have announced Rafa Benitez as their manager. I just think that's a massive statement from the club. You know, a Premiership experienced manager that's won things in Europe. No matter where he's been, he has been successful. Plus, it's two fingers up to Chelsea down the road, and I'm sure Benitez would love to come in and put himself up against the likes of Jose Mourinho. I'm sure he would absolutely love it. He would put boys into certain positions, you know, get them all sorted out. So look, it's going to be, you know, where that's, I think that's where the big, big statement would be for the team, you know. So it's going to be, is there any other outsiders that you think, you know, could possibly get the job?
At this stage, no, I'm not really sure.
Maybe Moyes?
Well, listen, you know, David Moyes, Frank de Boer goes somewhere else and he goes somewhere else and they go somewhere else, then David Moyes is still available. Don't be surprised.
The fans are singing that song about him already, but, you know,
he was fantastic at Everton.
A few guys at the weekend, sorry, Steve, that if we were able to, this time last year, if AVB had been sacked, and we were in the running for David Moyes, we would have all been jumping about it.
Yeah. That's the thing. People say they don't want this guy, they don't want that guy. You know, suggest the alternative. And if your alternative is Frank de Boer, and he's on his way to Barcelona, you know, he said, I'm not going to go to Barcelona because you can't teach Messi anything. Well, let me tell you, that if the chairman of Barcelona, the president of Barcelona, phones up Frank de Boer and says, come and manage us next year. I'll give you 200 million, but, you know, come and work with Neymar and Messi and the rest of them. He ain't turning them down.
Definitely.
No way.
Yeah.
Jose.
Well, we shall see. We shall see what happens. But look, it's the usual. It's quite exciting, isn't it? We're going to have a new manager. There's going to be, obviously, funds are going to be made available for new players because we've got a new manager. He's going to get rid of certain players. So look, it's going to be exciting times. But I just hope that we announce it definitely before the World Cup. I do not want to be going into the World Cup and us not have our manager announced. Definitely don't want that there to happen. We've got rid of Sherwood quickly. Man United are going to announce Van Gaal, more than likely they said next week. They're going to do it quickly. He's a manager in the World Cup. No reason we can't go in and get our man, get it done as soon as possible.
Well, look, mate, we've run out of time, but we've got loads of questions. So what we'll do is we'll end this show here, and then we'll do another show in a couple of days.
Okay.
And we'll answer all these questions. And so we'll put this show out, what is it, Thursday? So the show should be available Friday, which you would know, the listeners, because you've subscribed and you get it straight away if you subscribe to the show. If you don't know how to do that, just go into our show on your iPhone and settings, and then there's like something that says subscribe. You just slide it across. You have to pay £62 a month. No, you don't. It's absolutely free, and you just get the show straight away. I'll tell you how quickly it takes. The minute I press the button to upload the show onto iTunes, the next minute it goes on my phone. So that's how quick it is. This show will finish here, and we'll do another one in a couple of minutes. Couple of days. Not a couple of minutes, a couple of days, where we will answer all your questions.
Yeah, we'll get all the questions done, get it out there. You never know, there might be a new manager announced within those next couple of days as well. So.
I doubt it, Cole, because it will actually be in a couple of minutes. A couple of days, I mean. All right. Okay. Come on, you Spurs.
I shall speak to you next week, and come on, you Spurs.